Hey guys, it's winter, and that means it is time for some new socks for your sock drawer, right? Ever since I moved to the East Coast, I have become obsessed with socks, and I know that typically they are a boring accessory, but I wanted to tell you guys about a company that is really making socks really cool, and that company is called Stance. They have totally redefined what socks should feel like and the role that they play in personal style. So they're a company that is based out of Southern California. Hello, where I'm from. And they work with a bunch of athletes, performers, and cultural influencers. They have some new socks coming out from Rihanna, which is super, super cool. And they are the official sock of the NBA and Major League Baseball. So I wanted to talk to you guys about gifting socks for Christmas and the holiday season. These are socks that people on your list would absolutely love to receive. So we just wanted to let you know that the cutoff for Christmas delivery is December 20th with overnight shipping. Remember, December 20th with overnight shipping. And you guys should just know there's a single place you can go this year and do all of your holiday shopping because everybody will love these. So go check out stance.com. That's stance.com. Stance, the uncommon thread.
World, and welcome to another episode of Lady Lovin'. It is I, Greta Teitelman, and I am joined today by only one of my lady lovers.
But it's an important one.
Yes, I'm joined by Jilly today. Lo is traveling for work, and she unfortunately won't be able to join us on this very special episode, as all of our episodes are very special. But today, we have a personal fave of the show.
Yeah, we do. We have someone that I met on Instagram.
And I love an online relationship. Yeah. I love an online friendship when you make friends on the internet.
Slid into each other's DMs a few years ago.
Well, without any more further ado,
yes,
we have Kate Hendricks joining us today.
Hi.
On the show.
Hi,
she
Kate.
Is a comedian and writer and creator of Kate the Wasp.
Yes.
And I'm sure you guys have seen her on YouTube, on Twitter, on Instagram. Kind of, she's sort of dominating this social platform for comedy.
She is.
This is very exciting, and we're so happy to have you on.
I'm so happy to be here. This is so great. It was hard for me when you were like saying that we had an online friendship. It's like, I was like sitting here being like, yes, we do, and it's so wonderful.
It is.
I mean,
I love them.
I like supporting Kate, and Kate supports me.
You've
and
been
it's
amazing.
Beautiful.
But you guys both have like healthy social media following.
Yeah, I saw one of Kate's jokes on this guy's account that I followed for a while, and that's how I discovered her. And she has been like posting her jokes online and just writing all this great stuff, and I've been a fan ever since.
I think that the online friendship is something that like happens more and more,
100%.
Especially with my friends that have like a bigger following. It seems like you guys just like come together or something.
For sure. I posted like this New Yorker comic, and then this guy wrote and he commented on it. And then 6 months later, we were like, I met him and we were hanging out. And then I was like, oh my God, you write New Yorker cartoons. Like, I love them. I always post them. And it turns out, like, I had posted a bunch of his comics and he had commented. So we, like, had this friendship before we even knew each other. It's pretty funny.
Didn't they take one of your jokes and make a cartoon of it?
That was a different guy. That was Brooklyn
Cartoons. That's Brooklyn Cartoons. Okay.
Yeah.
So can you tell me or tell us a little bit about how you got, like, I know that you're Kate. Before we started recording, we were just talking about, like, the kind of blurry world of being a character and being a stand-up. So can you talk to us just about like Kate the Wasp and how they got started? And
of course, I'm happy to. So I obviously am a human and a person, and I started, you know, I moved back to New York and started doing stand up in 2009.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from New Jersey.
Cool.
I went to college in the South at Vanderbilt, and then worked after college in finance and in advertising, and wasn't really. Didn't know what a life in comedy looked like, and I had this weird interaction where someone said that they were a stand-up. I kind of got into it. I quickly moved back from LA to New York and started hitting open mics and doing stand-up as much as I could. And obviously, you know, it's hard, period. I don't think I do myself any favors by dressing the way that I do, which is like a little on the, you can call it prude, you can call it preppy, like you can call it momish, whatever the things are. But it became like clear very quickly that my look wasn't like helping, but I don't have any other look that I could do. Like, right. This is how I dress. This is how I feel comfortable.
This is who you are. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, in these early years, I would do these dive bars and like, and I'm grateful for them, but I would perform, you know, Gratitude Comedian, you know, like you just take any gig you can get.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the time I wasn't getting laughs, but I at least people would stop ordering a drink from the bar and they would look and they would be like, I would have them for 15 seconds. Like I would, I had that grace period. And so the way that the character came about is because I was doing stand up and you know, you're trying to get jokes out, but then I would kind of put away the guise of like, I'm here telling jokes to five people who have not even signed up for a show.
Right.
And I would just start talking to them and just kind of doing what we all call crowd work, right? And at that point, I would take on this air of like kind of clueless naivete, but really, really well-meaning and really like genuinely curious about whomever I was talking to. And that came from a place of honest cluelessness. Like one of the episodes that I ended up doing in my web series was going to a sex shop. I didn't own a vibrator before, you know, doing that. So I'd never been in a sex shop. So a lot of it was like,
You truly exploring.
Yeah. But just using your humor to like get through the situation.
Right. But the truth is I found, you know, I now know how to go up and I can do, you know, I can do half an hour and I can tell jokes and look the way I look and I can get the audience. But in those early days, I felt this relief that everybody in the room had, whether it was three people, whether it was 20 people, you know, in the depths of Brooklyn, wherever it was that I had no business being. And I could get them on my side by being like, I know you think I'm an idiot or you're not, and let me endear myself to you.
Yeah.
So from there, it was kind of, and I'm sorry to like ramble on, but I was like, well, what if that interaction that I just had where everyone felt calm and comfortable and I asked this person about their neck tattoo, if I, you know, go to where they got that done and learn about their world. So it became this, you know, I got a camera. I asked around for comedians and I was like, does anybody know a camera guy? I got a camera guy. The first one was a skate park and it was really weird because you're used to doing stand up where you hear laughter and there was, you know, was none. And I'm talking to these 11-year-old boys and I'd gotten a skateboard. And so from there it was just kind of places that I wanted to go that I'd never been. It started in 2012. Mm-hmm. So right around that time, Occupy Wall Street happened.
Yeah.
It lined up that in the new year, we went to the gay pride parade. So by virtue of those things being more topical, the Huffington Post picked it up. Total Sorority Move picked it up. So there was a topicality to the episodes that made websites open to picking up the character. And that was how I think I started to build this following that I truly would never have had if I was just doing stand-up. I really believe that.
No, yeah.
So, that's long-winded way of saying that's...
No, I think the interesting thing that you're talking about is something that everyone experiences, whether or not you're a stand-up or whatever. I think that sometimes, like... when you're in a public place or when you're in a place of work or when you're trying to do something that you really want to do, but a part of you is scared and a part of you, you know, is feeling a little, not humiliated, but is feeling nervous, like you can almost become possessed by this other identity that sort of becomes an armor for you to like take on the world that you want to be in.
Right.
Does that make sense?
For sure. I mean, I have a different name than what my real name is that I use for all my work stuff because it's really easy for me to separate like personal from like that.
It's like Sasha Fierce.
You know what I mean?
It's like Joanne.
Not to be like dramatic about it, but it really helps.
Well, I think that everyone has that. I think that, you know, I know that my mom was the best mom ever, but when you put her in a meeting and in a work environment, she was like a very stern, super powerful woman.
Yeah.
And it's even in like that change, like in many ways, that's a character too.
For sure.
I just think it's, everyone has it in them. And I think that you recognizing that, it's like, oh, these people aren't accepting me for how I look right now. And what, and the stand-up world is so interesting too, because there is, like any art, there is a part of it where it's like, well, do you understand unless you're really struggling? It's do you get it unless you're at the bottom of the barrel and you're, and you know, you're clawing for your life. So when you present yourself as being like, actually, I'm fine. Not only am I fine, like I'm wearing pearls and whatever else, it does make people be like, do I want to listen to you? Because like, can you actually understand me?
Right. For sure. I feel like that's with everything too, though. Like even for me, when I'm DJing, when I first started DJing, people were like, oh, you're a woman and you're DJing. Like they didn't get it. I think anytime you're different and you show up different than everyone else that's doing the same thing, it's really hard for people to like understand that and to place you. You know what I mean? Because like when people don't understand you, they're just they get scared and like then they act a different way, you know?
What was so interesting and like, you know, I've gone through so many phases of emotions about it, but when I started doing I built a sense of humor as a kid because I was, you know, chubby and I didn't quite fit in. So I still feel like that person, right? And so when I started doing stand up, I was like, finally, like this is a group of people who have, I don't want to say something broken, but something where they feel like the underdog.
Yeah.
And I've come to understand that I may not look like the underdog and I can't expect people to understand that that's how I feel. So to your point, like, yes, comedy is there is a look and a feeling that people have as comedians.
But I think that also goes too with all creative practices. You know, I think that if you say I'm an artist, but you don't look like you have paint splattered all over your clothes and like you haven't eaten in a week and a half, people are going to be like, oh, you are, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's very true.
I think it's changing a lot. I think it's changed a lot. But I think that we still have these preconceived notions of what a comedian looks like, what a painter looks like, what a musician looks like, what a writer
looks like.
Exactly. I think we have so many preconceived notions of all of these things. Even what like lawyers and doctors and all of this shit looks like.
Well, I think for art, or at least for comedy, you don't have to be, but you're expected to be the underdog, right?
Yeah.
And you can present yourself as the underdog by how you look, by how you convey your jokes, by, you know, your source material, you know, if you're doing a character, like all, so there's so many ways to come at it. And I think the way I came out of the gate as a stand-up, It took some time to build trust to people that I wasn't just going to do this, like, you know, because when I moved back to New York, I lived out of two suitcases. I was performing. I would wear ball gown dresses to perform stand up comedy. Like, and I was dead serious. I thought that was the right way to go. I was like,
that's like how you feel comfortable, and if that's how you felt comfortable at the time, you know, then fucking great. Like,
but that was what was so tricky is any audition, and I know now that auditions, you know, especially for, you know, there's a little bit that's, I don't want to say rigged, but people are, you know, have managers calling them in or whatever. But, you know, I remember it was like a month into living here, and I put on this like black halter dress with backless, like, you know, and then like sweatpants under it and slept on the street outside Caroline's. Cause I was like, all right, I may not be the best, but I will be the first person here when the doors open. So like, I know I have a chance to be seen, which
amazing.
Is so, it's silly. Cause it's like,
no, but it's not silly.
No, but
I mean, that's some shit that like, that's some shit that I wouldn't do.
But that was what was so frustrating for me. It was, I felt like people were like, oh, she doesn't care. She doesn't need it. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like I really want this. I'm trying as hard as I can.
So I
feel really good about the comedy community now. They've been really supportive to me, and I've paid my dues. I spent the time getting to know, like in any industry, who the gatekeepers are and you know, doing those shows and proving myself, and I don't have any grudge against that.
So recently I've noticed on your Instagram that you have been releasing chapters of a book.
Yes.
I would love to talk about
that. Yeah, where are you? I mean,
that's like a lot. I mean, you've got the YouTube channel, you're sharing your jokes on Twitter, you're performing live, and now you're releasing a book.
So basically, the situation with the character is that I get interest from people on occasion, not a ton, to try and make it into a bigger thing. Or let me back up. I feel like I've done every, people are like, why haven't you put out an episode in the last year or whatever? And the truth is I've done all the episodes I can do in New York City and the surrounding areas by myself with one other camera guy. Like, as you guys know, we need production help.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to go to Coachella in character. I would love to go to, you know, Insane Clown Posse, all of these places, but you need help. You need...
Yo, Insane Clown Posse, I'm not fucking kidding you. You might get killed. So, like, please don't go there. That shit's next level. But they're fucking insane.
I don't know anything about
The gathering of the juggalos. I mean, go. Like, that's I want you to go, but also...
And disarm them. I think we could just like I think
girl,
that's the
they,
that's the
those
joy
people,
to me.
Have you watched? Like, I mean, I'm fascinated by them.
I know nothing about
they
this.
Are
I need to Google.
Ratchet. You need to watch Tila Ratchet. Tequila perform at the return at the gathering of the Juggalos. Like from
she's
a couple years
artist?
Ago. Well, you know, yes,
was this
in her own right.
Reality show or before? Or
this
after?
Was after, but
get it,
they
girl.
Are no. They like boo her off stage. Oh, they're God. Throwing cans of like Faygo at her, and like they're,
I don't
they're
even
going
know what
Faygo
is. I got a lot of research to do after this episode.
For the record, I do not know what Faygo is either.
It's
it was like
the soda that they drink. It's like that they in air quotes.
I love how you know all of this information. That
you know I would
about.
Know this shit.
That's
you
true,
know I
true.
Would know this shit.
Greta's a badass.
Well, so I couldn't further the web series with the current resources that I had. And so I was like, well, how do I continue? I started to get this cultish, you know, wonderful, loyal following that was like, why aren't there more, like, why don't you have a TV show? Like, why can't I buy something from you? Why can't I, you know?
Yeah. Like, why isn't there more?
Yeah, and it's heartbreaking, because you're like, I appreciate you so much.
You're
I
like, I want
deliver.
There to be more.
I want there to be more, but there's so many factors at play that, like, I don't want to tell you about, because that's just the business and, like, whatever. So, you know, as the new year approached, I was like, all right, I'm going to try and write a book and try and pitch a book. And I did that. And... the book, the original concept of it was You Can Even, Kate the Wasp's Guide to Recovering from Entitlement. And the whole proposal was written in character.
That's very funny.
And it was intended to be just kind of like in the character's voice, completely, you know, but not, there was no meanness. There was no like nastiness or kind of talking down. It was just a real like, you know, how did we get here from like a, we being those who are entitled and where do we need to go from here to continue to survive type thing. So, you know, I had a wonderful, and I have a wonderful lit agent. She pitched it around and unfortunately it didn't go. And most of the commentary was not, we don't think it's funny. Not
it's just like, who's the market?
Well, their response was, we don't think, we see Kate has X amount of followers. We're not convinced it's going to grow.
Right.
And I'm really proud that was June and it was 10K on Instagram.
Yeah.
And now I'm almost at 20. So that's 100% growth with nothing, with no, like, other than people like Jilly regramming me or people, you know, like the Betches regramming me. Bustle has been wonderful. Like, it's all grassroots. So as that happened,
isn't it fucking crazy that we're like, I think it's brilliant and insane that we're literally speaking of Instagram in that the way you just broke that down by like 100% growth and like grassroots, like it is a full-fledged business.
For
that's,
sure.
That's the thing. I know, but I'm just saying like hearing you speak about it like you're on Shark Tank, I'm like, damn, that's a big, because you know Shark Tank is the only thing that I equate businesses to.
True. But no, it's like great to be able to like have that platform because it's like when someone, if you want something, you work really hard and like people don't see it immediately, to be able to like have this platform to do it on your own is phenomenal.
Well, I think to your point, Greta, like the business part of it is really, I take that really seriously because it is, I'm not harboring delusions that someone's going to pick me out of the sky and say, oh my God, this girl's the next coming. No, I believe that there is a market for what I'm doing and that it's specific, yes, but there is a large market of women who aren't being spoken to in this way with kind of like a little bit of a tongue in cheek about being preppy and entitled, but that doesn't mean that they are only those things. They can be other things too. And so I really believe in that market. I believed that this book would sell and I would kill myself having run around the country, promoting it, touring it, whatever. So when it came down to it, you know, my agent was like, all right, well, we can try again in a year. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I had posted, you know, the cover of the book proposal, and people were like going crazy. And I really try to keep it close to the vest unless something, you know, I really felt
unless
like it was going to
happen.
Exactly.
Because right,
you don't, sure. I take the loyalty of anybody who follows you, who takes the time to follow a stranger and support them. I would never, you don't want to mess with their loyalties or over, you know, promise. So I was like, you know what? Everything that I've done so far that has worked, I've done on my own. So, you know, I did the web series on my own. That's how anybody found me to begin with.
Yeah.
So let me just self-publish. I can figure this out. It's, you know, it's not that tough. And so what ended up happening was the way that I had written the proposal is actually different from the way that the book has come to life. So the book is really an attempt to, as Kate the Wasp, explain her background, which is, you know, very satirical. Her parents were killed in a freak golf accident, and she's, you know, somewhat orphaned, and it opened, you know, we find it, the intent of the book is for anybody who's seen the web series, they'll read the book and then they'll see the web series and they're like, oh, I get why she's out doing that.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Right.
So I'm in a bit of a hiatus. I've got 8 chapters out.
Yeah.
How are you releasing the chapters? Is it on like Google?
It's on
like,
Amazon.
And you can just like go through Amazon?
You can go through Amazon. I put it at 99 cents and, you know,
I had no idea that you can self-publish on Amazon.
Oh, you absolutely, well, I guess it's Amazon/Kindle.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you know, look, if I had the chance to do it again, I got all these questions of like, will there be an audiobook? Will there be, you know, how do I get it
on? It would be amazing to do an audiobook in the character's voice.
Well, and that's the thing. And, what I learned and probably should have done earlier maybe, but I had to, I think we have to blunder a little bit to like figure out exactly where the comedy is. And this in particular, I did a little more publicly than other blunders, but like, you know, what I've written is fiction, and that's hard to like bring to life, but it's also hard to, in the second chapter, I'm not like giving much away, but like she comes across a black man and it's 2012. So he's, on his way back from a vigil for Trayvon Martin. So I've tried to like take on these topics that are, you know, really serious and not funny, but I think for, you know, for someone who is as sheltered as this character is, I'm trying to show, and I've gotten some feedback that like is the kind of stuff that keeps you going, where there's, you know, one young woman was like, you know, I've read these chapters and I know they're fiction, but they make me think about the way I approach the world a little bit differently. And and that's, to me, is like, okay, this is the right path. I feel good about this. I feel
definitely.
Do you ever become resentful of Kate the Wasp?
No. Resentful is the wrong word. Concern is the wrong way, because I don't think.
I mean, obviously, you wouldn't have resentment because it has opened up. So it has opened up so many things. But are you ever like, I want to retire her?
I don't think it's done. I have a vision for it, and I would like it to. And as I'm sure you guys do too, where you have projects that you're like, I know there's more of this inside me and I've got to get it out. So I'd like to do that before it's too far gone. Maybe it won't happen, and maybe I will find success as myself versus being a character. I don't know.
I really believe though that like it will happen. Like if you want it to come out of you, then you're just going to make it come out of you, and it's going to happen. And like, because it needs to. That's how I feel with when I perform and when I do characters or when I make little films or whatever, I'm like, oh, I still have like so much more of this inside of me that it's almost concerning, because I'm like, I don't know if by the time I die, I will have like exercised all of this out of my body. But I do think that, I mean, life is so fucking weird.
And long.
Like the way that life, it's long, but it's incredibly short, and your life can truly change in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, you know, where all of us, Jilly and I, just thinking of two people, you know, if you asked Jilly and I what we thought we would be doing a month ago to what we're doing now, we couldn't have told you.
Right.
And I think that that goes for everyone, even if it's not like a big monumental thing. Mm-hmm. I just think that the amazing thing about a character is that it's almost like you get to live two lives.
For sure.
You like get to see the journey of Kate the Wasp and be like, oh, I'm going to see where this like half schizophrenic side of me goes. Right. And then I'm going to see where myself goes.
Right.
But it's almost like by the time you get to do your self work, it's like you're doing it now, but you're so much more equipped because of Kate the Wasp.
Right. Right. I mean, I think the way, as I think about it, it's not resentful. It's, I think, a little bit stifled, because when you create a character that's based on being clueless, right, you kind of can't then have, of course, I want her, and I think that the whole goal here is to have this person become more aware of their ignorance, right? And that's great. But I, as a person, as a woman, and as a, you know, sister, daughter, like someone who really enjoys female friendship, I think about that all the time. I love the idea of, like, I love what you girls are doing here. I love the idea of empowering women. That to me is where I would like to end up, right?
Yeah.
Is with a platform where I could speak honestly about that. And so I don't think it would fit for the character of Kate the Wasp to be like empowering women as explicitly as I know I personally want to. Does that make sense?
Yes, but I also disagree, because I think that I grew up in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Around every preppy, waspy person on planet Earth. Because D.C. is very strange. It's like, it's half like southern and half northern.
Right,
it's in a weird place. And, you know, half of my high school went to schools in the south and went to schools in the north and whatever. So I think that having a character like Kate the Wasp sort of be pro-women would be something that, like, to me, that is what's missing. And, like, that is what you could speak to in this very specific community. Because there really isn't that.
I think you're right. And my hope is that anybody who follows me in character, I've started this, you know, I have my own Instagram now, like, as Kate.Hendrix or whatever. But I think... I don't disagree. I think the quality that allows this character to go out and disarm the insane clown posse and to be so deferential and so idiotic in these places where she shouldn't be, to me, I have a mental block where I'm like, how is that character and those qualities then also turning around being like, go women? Because the whole premise of the character is that she's learning. So when you're a learner, you're not totally ready
But I think you could have people on that are doing great things and ask them questions from like a learning standpoint.
I would love to do an interview series as her, and I've tried to do that. I've done a couple episodes.
I think that you guys are both wrong, because I think what the most empowering thing,
let's hear it.
The most empowering thing of all of that is seeing this woman learn, because so many women are told, you don't need to know about that. Don't go and explore that. Don't figure that out. So I think that it's already empowering. I think that Kate the Wasp as a character is an empowered woman, because she's saying,
I love this.
Well, she's saying, I want to know about these things. And yeah, like, I am a little stupid and naive but I do have a big heart and I want to explore these worlds. And I think that in essence, that is empowerment, because if you were not an empowered woman, why would you take it upon yourself to go independently to places where you really don't fit in, where you're putting yourself at risk, and then learn about them.
That's true.
I see your point. I think the difference here is where it stops being comedy and funny and becomes more inspirational and empowering. And I think those are two incredibly important things. They can live together.
Yeah.
I think I haven't... I see the character in her infancy, right? Where she's, you know, I'm trying to build out the backstory. I'm trying to, you know, you've got the YouTube videos. But I will, you know, it's important, because I've come to learn this. I've had people through the virtue of Instagram, and we were talking about the power of this platform earlier. Like, I have people who don't even know that I do a web series. They don't even know I do a stand-up. They just think of me as a comedian on the internet or someone who posts funny things. And God bless, however your day is brightened by this humor, I'm thrilled. That's fine. But it's fascinating, because I assume everybody knows it started because I just feel very grassroots. I feel very small.
Yeah, for sure. You know the origin and you're like, okay, so if you're looking at this, then you know that this is where it started.
That's kind of what I want to talk about too, is because I feel like a lot of people get intimidated when they're first diving into like a new career or something creative and they're like, how am I ever going to do this? Mm. And I think that it's so powerful that you've used all these like online platforms to get to like where you are. And I think that like that's something super recognizable. Like it's no longer like I need to have a blog or I need to do this. Like using the different social media platforms and like finding an interesting way to get your voice out there, I think is like really, really significant.
Well, I think it's so, we're so fortunate in a sense to have that as an option, because I think if it was 10 years ago or even less, like the only way to quote unquote make it as a comedian is to go out and do the clubs and tour the country. And there is nothing wrong with that. That's a wonderful trajectory.
Yeah.
Well, also with so many things too, the only way to make it and think about all the other people that have blown up because of Instagram and like fashion
or music or
music or journalism or lifestyle.
I don't even just mean like Instagram. I just mean like figuring out, like, let's say if you're someone out there that like wants to do something creative, like figure out how to put it out there on Snapchat.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And then grow a following that way. And that'll help you so much. Like, I feel like so many people are intimidated to like start something.
Right.
Because they're like, what if I'm not successful? But it's like, I think using these different tools that we're now able to have access to and really building yourself up that way is like a really great thing.
Well, I think it's a very natural thing to have fear about putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you're not saying that. The conclusion of that thought is that I think if I hadn't done stand-up and I hadn't bombed in front of multiple night after night after night,
yeah.
I, you know, had people yelling, like, get off the stage, you know, you're not funny, whatever. By the time I took to Twitter and by the time that it's now, you know, reached Instagram, I know how to write a joke. I know how to make it funny and concise. And so I think I feel a little more empowered in that sense of like, okay, I'm going to put this out there. And I know through the work that I've done in stand-up that this is a funny turn of phrase. It's worded economically. People are going to be able to laugh at it and share it and make it relatable. And I mean, I think Notes to My Selfie is one of the most brilliant, hilarious. I mean, that
I want
to hear more about that unless you already kind of covered it.
No, I mean, like, I don't know, back what you guys were saying earlier about like kind of like the persona, like a little bit for Notes to My Selfie is like that dark sort of like that vibe. And so I feel like I have to like live in that.
Mm.
But like the great thing that I did was separate that from my personal account.
Smart.
So I was able to just be like, this is one thing I do rather than like who I actually am.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I don't know. I guess I just like that happened to me. Like I was writing, I was doing all this stuff. Nothing was catchy. And I was like, whatever, I'm just going to like post these things online. And like, then I got a great, like a lot of good feedback. And then I switched to its new account and I should probably post more. I need to do that. But it's definitely like really helped me in all of my, you know, career endeavors. But I know also what we were talking about earlier is we were talking about dating.
Yes.
We were talking about guys and all that kind of
fun stuff.
Do people
ever fall in love with Kate the Wasp and then realize you're not Kate the Wasp?
Yeah.
And then they're kind of like confused.
I've had a couple of people, male guys reach out and to be clear,
I like that. I've had male guys.
I don't know why I said that. I should add it. Like the word wasp, I think, and I get this feedback all the time of any self-respecting wasp. Like, guy, I mean, I use it
of
because
any self-respecting wasp.
Right. And I'm like, listen, no quote unquote wasp. This is for me, that is just a word for people to immediately understand that they're going to see a
pearls,
cardigan, whatever.
Well,
for anybody
listening that doesn't know what WASP stands for, it stands for White Anglo-Saxon Protestant, which is actually something that's such a huge departure from what it actually like signifies
in
pop culture.
Well, it's the same way when people use the term Jap. It's like that's completely different. I feel like that type of doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the religion.
When Jilly says Jap, she is talking about
like
Jewish-American
princess. 100% guys. And I'm Jewish, so I can say that. Right.
Well, I mean, you know,
maybe I should.
All
say
of these
it,
things
but.
Are just all of these things. Like what you're saying, when you say, "Oh, I'm a wasp," that doesn't actually signify that you are an Anglo-Saxon Protestant. All that signifies to people is like, "Oh, so you're probably preppy. You probably wore pearls. You probably went to a school like Vanderbilt, and blah 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 blah."
Well, I've never because to their point, like, no one would ever come out and say, or, you know, no one would say I'm no one would walk around, you know, when I do the web series, I don't say, hey, I'm Kate the Wasp. I say, you know, hello, I'm Kate. I'm a blog, you know, you try to get people to talk to you, but, I don't tell them I'm a comedian. I say I'm a blogger. I'm, you know, doing whatever. But, I think like the, I've gotten these emails that are like, I just want you to know that my family came over on the May, and they'll, I'll get this backstory
on the Mayflower.
And I'm fascinated by it, cause I'm like, wow, I don't want to take away from your heritage because, and it's incredible, but I'm kind of not using it in that way where I'm trying to command some sort of respect. I more just was like, okay, this works.
Right. You're not using registered. It to like capitalize or
right,
something.
Exactly. Like I just, so, forgive me, I forgot my train of thought, but you were saying...
About men.
Oh, so I think I get a couple... There's been a few times where people want to let me know, I guess, whoever they assume that this character is in real life, they want to share their preppy background. And I'm happy to hear it. I think it's wonderful. That's all great. There have been a few... I went on one date with a guy, as the more online dating I've done and the longer I've been doing this, I've swiped right on a couple of guys who were like, oh my God, like, aren't you Kate the Wasp? And I was like, how is this, like, you know? And I don't know what they think. I know some guys want to one up you.
Yeah.
Then I think there's a whole school of, or a group of men who want privately to be comedians that they think they're very funny and they think they want
like
this platform.
Literally snooze. Yeah.
And so there's been a couple of those where it becomes this like...
She's like, you want to do it? Get on a fucking stage.
Well, yeah.
I also feel like for me, it's like when I'm going out with someone, I don't want them to look me up online because then they have all these like, they think that like, oh, maybe I am actually this like dark, depressed person that writes all these notes, or maybe I'm like, you know, someone that's like a too cool DJ or something. So I feel I get like uncomfortable. Like, I hope, I'm like, if I go meet someone, I'm like, please don't look me up online so you get to know me. Because, like, I really just don't want people to, like,
do
that.
Okay, but it's inevitable.
I get that, but, like, I also, that's something that definitely, like, I struggle with when I, like, date guys. Because I feel that they, and I don't even, like, have that big of a following. I just mean, like, more of my joke style and, like, what I put out there. But it's, like, that all is for my career. It advances my career. It's not, like, how I personally...
The way I've taken solace in that whole thought process, because it becomes very, it is something that kind of paralyzes you or can, you know, keep you up at night, but it's like, I hope that the right person for me, of which I'm sure there are many, I've let go of the whole idea of a soulmate.
Something we talk about all the time in this show. I'm like,
hard.
There's at least 15 people for everyone.
Right.
Like, here's the thing, the world's just too big. But you know, there are too many people.
I've had too many people that I like thought were the one that weren't. And so I really just...
But just to finish that thought, my hope is that for any of us who have something out there and online, if we're looking for a partner, they're going to understand, they're going to have a sense of humor or intelligence and or wit to be able to be like, okay, this is, I'm either seeing this and or enjoying it. And then I'm interested in knowing this person and what drove her to do this. Or I'm seeing it and I'm not enjoying it, in which case, that's not going to be the guy for you. Will never work.
To
know him beforehand.
Even like for like a woman that has like a really powerful career, like I think men get intimidated by that. And I think that like, I mean, the last... two guys I dated were like, I'm intimidated by you. And I'm like,
forget
bye.
A powerful career. Guys are just intimidated by women, period.
No, but I think that it is like to see a woman that's successful and doing what she wants and is good at it, I think is really
to see a woman living her life for herself.
Exactly.
I think whether or not your job is super cool or whatever it is. Exactly. I think it's like when you meet a woman that's genuinely like, this is me, this is what I'm doing. I don't need you to validate my existence.
Yeah.
I think a lot of men get... I've dated guys that have, you know, treated me like shit because I didn't really need them to tell me that I was like...
Right.
I don't need them to like let me know that I'm special. That being said, one thing that I love about my boyfriend, and I feel lucky that I do date a comedian because he like...
understands.
Gets it and understands it. Right. Like when I do my fully insane characters on Instagram, he'll be there with me like laughing. And I'm like, that's awesome. Like you, like this is why I just need to marry you now because no one else is going to stand here with me and like have a good time. And he wants me to do all of this.
That's
yeah.
Great. That's so great.
That's really, I mean, it's really important to find a guy that supports your career and supports what you want for yourself. Outside
girl.
Of the relationship.
A guy or a girl.
Yes, yeah, whatever you want, guys.
Well,
or girls.
You mentioned your mom.
You do you.
Your mom worked. And are you, was yes. your dad, I'm assuming your dad was very supportive.
You know,
or maybe
my, not. Well, no, both of my
I don't mean
parents,
to laugh there. I only because
no,
Greta and I are very close and I know her whole life story.
Okay. And also I talk about it all the time.
I'm sorry. I know I like haven't probably listened to it enough.
No, stop. Yeah. Don't even worry about it.
Did not do my homework.
My parents were both insane. Workaholics.
Wow.
Like, I grew up in a family where my mom, you know, from when I was a baby to when my mom eventually passed away. Oh, but, my mom was traveling all the time. My mom worked in politics, worked for the government. So wow. My mom was, you know, she would go on trade missions, for example, when I was like between the ages of like 4 and 9 specifically, where my mom would have to go and be in Japan for like 3.5 weeks mm-hmm. and then come back and, you know, work super late nights. And my parents were always like had to entertain or do some shit because right. that's like half of working in politics. Is
sure.
being that kind of person. So I was raised in like a really intense household mm-hmm. Where my dad was super serious
sure.
and he was a lawyer and also worked in politics. And, you know, my dad was super tightly wound. Mm. And I think that my mom was just fucking brilliant. My mom was amazing. She commanded a room. She like awesome. Commanded attention and respect. And like the notes that we got, the letters that we got after she died, it's just incredible to see how much she impacted everyone that she worked with and met, and extremely powerful people.
Right, right.
And people that aren't powerful, or not aren't powerful. I shouldn't say that. People that are just different. But I think my dad always kind of felt second fiddle to that because my dad is kind of weird. He's like not really like socially, he's kind of like socially inept, you know, and then he's married to this woman. I mean, my parents had really bad marital problems.
Interesting.
They eventually ended up getting a divorce. But gotcha. Do I think my dad was supportive of my mom? I think my dad always felt a little jealous. I think there was a lot of jealousy there. I will say, like, my dad is supportive of me. Mm. You know, I have a really fucking weird relationship with him, but does he like some of the characters that I do? No. He doesn't get it, you know, but I don't need him to get it. I don't care if he gets it or not. So I think the lesson that I learned from, like, my parents' marriage was, like, Alexia, a friend of ours who was on the podcast a couple weeks ago, she said this quote that, like, Oprah is, like, don't be friends with people who want your life.
Ooh.
I think that my dad, in many ways, like, wanted my mom's life. And
wow.
I think that caused issues.
Yeah.
That is that's a really... First of all, thank you for sharing that. I'm sorry. I like didn't know that.
No,
the
oh my God. No. I mean, I probably I didn't even need to go into that much detail,
no,
but
it was great.
It's, you know, I think that
no, it's great.
It's an example of.
Right.
But I think that's why like you are such a strong woman and also why the men that you date, you don't allow them to treat you.
I did though. I definitely did. I definitely went through a time where I dated a guy that fully just like was not supportive of me doing stand-up.
But now I feel like, you know, at
no,
a young age, you've
yeah.
really
yeah.
figured that
I mean,
out.
I just feel so lucky that I grew up. It's like a good and a bad. My parents were such workaholics that I'm so hard on myself. I've gotten a lot better. I've really improved over the past year. But when you grow up in a home where they are just constantly fucking working.
Right.
And when my mom wasn't working, it became addictive. Like, she would become depressed. Mm. If she didn't feel like she was busting her ass like 14 hours a day to like change the world.
Right.
She was like really depressed and their work really defined their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that when I was like 20 years old, I would go into these dark holes of depression being like, I'm going to amount to nothing. I'm not working hard enough. I'm a loser. Like being so mean to myself because I was just raised in this, in this kind of home where it was never enough, right. You know, like you could work and work and work and work, but it would never be enough because there's so much work to be done. And it's hard growing up with like parents that just worked all the fucking time, right. and put, they wanted what's best for us, but they also kind of put like our relationship, my mom would kill me for thinking this because I know that it's not true, but sometimes it felt a little second fiddle.
Right. I mean, I think that relationships, I'm assuming before she passed, you were able to, and she saw, you know, how.
Well, that being said, I was incredibly close to my mom.
Exactly.
I was obsessed with my mom.
Right.
I was like my mom's shadow. When right. I was five, I wanted to sit and read the New York Times with her. And like, I didn't want to play. I just wanted to be with her. Right. I was obsessed with being with her. So my mom and I were extremely close.
Well, I mean, I think a mother-daughter, so my mom worked too. And, you know, both my parents did. And so one of the like funny things about, I think, this whole comedy trajectory has been that I paint the mother character as this kind of, you know, always harping on, you know, get married, do the, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And my mom could not be more supportive. You know,
she's
more
like,
excited.
Why are you saying this?
And that's the thing. And to her, you know, to her credit, she has never made me feel less than. She and my dad have been just, and not even from a financial, like, they're just like, you know what? We believe in you. You know, we want you to be happy.
Yeah.
That said, you know, people will say to me, how do you have the confidence to get up in front of a room? How do you do the crowd work? How do you talk to someone on the street and make them like you? And to your point about your mom, your recollections of her commanding a room, I had the same experiences. And I think that's really rare for young girls to see a mother who worked, and being a mom is work. I 100% believe that. But I,
oh yeah, I mean, I think I'm shocked that my mom had me and my sister.
Oh yeah,
and worked the way she did. It's crazy.
But I mean, I just want to succeed enough before, God forbid, they pass, and I can, you know, I can make them feel like it was worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so depressing and sad to say, but like, I will say, so I always grew up thinking, as I'm sure you did too, a woman with a powerful position and a strong sense of self and a drive to succeed is the norm. Is there's nothing wrong with it. That's what I see. That's what I know. And that's not to say that, you know, I my mom is very, she's not aggressive. She's not, you know, someone who's telling people what to do or whatever, but she really, in a time when I think, you know, same with your mom, when there still are enough women in positions of power, I've increasingly, as I've gotten older, realized how unbelievably hard that must have been for her.
Yeah, and especially during that time.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It was less women were working at that time than now, obviously. And
right.
That's, like, crazy to even think because there's still, like, not as many women in higher positions. I think there was, like, an article that came out, like, recently about, like, the low percentage of, like, women CEOs in the United
right.
States. It's,
oh,
like, crazy.
It's insane. I think it's something like 0.08% or something of, like, all CEOs in the United States are women.
Yeah. But back to the question of, like, relationships and men. I mean, the way I grew up was seeing these two people who both worked, who met each other, you know, very young, kind of, there's a great article about how if you marry in your early 20s, it's a startup, and if you marry later on, it's a merger, and it's much harder with a merger because you're both too fully formed. You know, so I think they grew up in a sense together and made something out of nothing. But I never, to this day, have no recollection of my dad ever undercutting my mom. Never. He just wouldn't. He is so on his own, a confident, just wonderful man.
That's
phenomenal.
When it comes to dating, it's been hard for me to be like, wait a second, men are threatened by women? Because that's not what I saw. I mean, I have had this whole just across the board, really late blooming understanding of things. I don't have brothers, so I only have two sisters, not only, but have two sisters. So I just didn't, I didn't know.
You were raised.
But I wasn't. My father never undercut my mom or anything like that. And my mom has had like multiple careers, but I wouldn't say that she's like necessarily like
a career woman.
No, but she does like love to work and like she took time off and whatever. Great. She's amazing. I love her. I'm also very close with my mom. But like my dad never once did that to my mom and make her feel less than for like wanting to work or any of that. But I find that I get in a lot of situations with men like that.
See, this
so
is
it's
where
like I wasn't even raised like seeing that, but I have experienced it myself.
What I would circle all like I would tie all this up with whomever that person is that you're dating. Their mother and father must have had some experience. Or
interesting.
Some, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like I'm in therapy right now.
Oh, I sometimes...
I, like, love... Oh, I'll tell an anecdote later, but you go ahead.
I just sometimes think that, like, I know men specifically that are like really shitty and yeah, then you meet true. Their family and you're and like, what?
What happened?
Like your parents are, your family's so lovely. Yeah, like, why are right. you such a piece of shit? Mm. And I think that I do agree. I think a lot of it is nurture.
Right.
I think a lot of what happens with the way people are is nurture. But I also do think that sometimes you just are inherently a certain way. And I think a lot of it has to do, I think 90% of it has to do with how they view themselves.
Yeah.
So 100%. Like if all these fucking dudes that are walking around with their stupid little dicks thinking that like, you know, they need to knock people down, it's because they're actually just insecure
for sure,
inside
for sure.
and feel like the only way they can fucking validate themselves is by making the world feel like shit.
Well, and there's whatever that quote was of like, you know, how people treat you is a direct reflection of how they feel about themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's just, you know, to your point, there's nothing more accurate and it's very freeing to try to keep that in mind. It's hard to do, but
yeah.
it's really, it is probably the truest thing. And I think it kind of wraps up in a, or not wraps up, but like dovetails into the idea of how there's not one perfect person and or what we grew up thinking of a fairy tale. Like there's going to be one person. It's going to be like Disney, like, cause that person's yeah. going to save you. Like
right.
actually they're not capable of saving
you're
gonna
you. You're going to be married by 30.
Exactly.
Like with kids and all that
once
shit.
Once you get to this like realistic point of view, which is really healthy and good, it also kind of sucks out the romance and the hope that there's gonna like yeah. be this swoop in and like that's okay. I've come around on that, but like
I am a hopeless romantic.
No, but I think that I almost think that like once you get to that point of being like, okay, this is realistically where I am, when you do like fall in love or find that person, it suddenly does become like super romantic and like fairy sure. tale-y because then you're like, oh my god, I'm right. so in love and I never knew that I could feel this way right. and blah 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 blah.
I never knew my heart could grow so big.
Jilly.
Greta.
I had a question for you.
I can't wait.
You were talking about how you find yourself dating men that
are intimidated by me.
Right, but
that's probably because I go out with insecure guys. But something I'm working on.
Where do you meet guys?
I have a horrible time with online dating, okay. so like I don't know, at weddings.
Jilly's
I'm great
at weddings. Jilly's
so
been
fun.
Meeting guys organically
yeah,
these
I've been,
days.
I've been opening myself up to love,
okay.
I feel.
All right.
So I'm like, think that more, like I've had more contact with males.
I think that's a
with male guys?
Yeah, with male guys. I've had more social contact with
male
men.
Guys.
Just even guys that I've known for like longer and I'm like, maybe we should like be uh-huh. like see what's happening or maybe I'll like, I don't know. It's interesting.
Who was I talking to the
just,
other
like,
day? Were we talking? Oh, I had dinner with my friend a couple nights ago and she was telling me that, she knows this woman who has a newborn, was married to this guy, and their marriage, like, seemed to be going well. And she saw her, like, a couple months after they saw each other the last time. And she fully got a divorce. They are best friends. And now she's, like, in love with her high school boyfriend.
Oh, wow.
And now they're dating.
Amazing.
And
I love that.
I do, too. But I think that what you're saying, like when you reconnect with people from your past
yeah,
and like when you
like
rekindle.
Maybe, because like, I think that I've been closed off to certain people and I was like also like in love with this guy for like a while. So like I was not down for like meeting new people, but like now I'm I don't know. I'm just.
Are you an online dater? Is that how you go on dates?
I have. I mean, I'm open to it. I was using the apps, you know, and
use I love
them.
How we all call it. I love how everyone that's online is like, I'm using the apps, and it's just this umbrella.
Well, also
for like
because there's 45
apps.
Dating apps, and you're not going to be like, I'm on Hinge, I'm on Bumble,
exactly.
I'm on Tinder, I'm on Raya.
Like, in stand up, I've been like doing this joke of like, I don't want to call them the apps. It's too reductive. I call it swipe right to settle, swipe left to die alone. Like it's just
it's
completely
true.
Like you know. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a muscle, right? You have to suit up, you have to go and be open to your point about, you know, meeting someone and you, then there's the canceling and the, you know, the idea that two people with all of the periphery stimulation that we have and all the other ways to occupy yourself, that two people could show up on a date and both be in the same place in their life and connect and have chemistry and be willing. I think willing is such an important word. Like, you know, you need to there's just this mentality of you can always do better, right? There's always you're one swipe away from someone who's possibly a better match for you. And so sometimes I get a little bit in my head and I'm just exhausted at the whole thought of it. And I'm I can't do it. And then I'm like, I have to go.
You have to
do this. Like, yeah.
That's like the biggest thing that I've learned this year is like, you have to like keep going.
Right.
Cause if you don't, like, you're just going to die. You know what I mean? Like, and that's a little bit dark, but it's like,
no,
you
it's
have
true.
To like keep your life going. You have to keep trying. You have to like do all of that. And I think the biggest thing is to know is that like, you're not the only one doing this. You're not the only one that feels this way. You're not the only one that needs to like feel great about themselves and that they're happy when they meet a guy. You know what I mean? It's not like you're different, you know? And I think that's also a really big thing because I think sometimes, I mean, I can get in my own head, like everyone else is meeting people, everyone else is doing this, but everyone else has been in the exact same place I am and they might be in my place in a month. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think just knowing that you're not alone in the process is like very... It's like a good thing to recognize.
It's like my mom always used to say, in life, you just have to keep your eyes on your own paper.
Yes, I've heard that. I've heard that. There's a wonderful comedian, Selena Kopic, who you've probably heard of. She always says that, too. And I'm like, it's such a good...
I don't get it. Keep your eyes on your own paper.
You know, in school, how if you were caught cheating, your teacher would be like, keep your eyes on your own paper.
Oh, yeah.
Focus on your own stuff.
So
stop
it's just like,
around.
Don't look at other people. You can't compare yourself
for sure.
To other shit.
I mean, duh. Like, look at... It's the same thing. It's like people, like, will look through Instagram and they're like, that person has a great life or that person looks great. And it's like lighting angle.
Oh,
and like
for sure.
She did one fun thing that week. Like, let's
who
chill.
Was it? Some, I think it would have been like Fuck Jerry or some one of those accounts that had put that thing up like forever ago. That was like Instagram, famous people in real life. And it was like a guy like buried in a hole in a basement, like in a billion sleeping bags.
I'm sure like in a onesie, just like with like unicorn ears.
I have a kind of, I know that we're like winding down,
okay.
But I do have a random question.
Yes.
And this is for both of you.
Okay.
Okay.
If you guys, cause I like love, so my fantasy is to create films one day, very in the vein of like Christopher Guest and like Tracy Ullman, very like character driven, zany kind of worlds. And the thing that I love the most about being able to like explore characters is that you really get to take on this whole person that's like definitely a part of you, but not your everyday self. If you guys could reinvent yourself, like if you guys could just totally start over, like clean slate with how you look or like your like edginess, all of that stuff, what would be different? And I'm not asking how would you change yourself. It's like, what kind of permanent character would you create? Or like who
like
would you want to embody?
What other character would I create?
Yeah. Like, do you ever think about that?
Yeah. The other character would recreate as someone that like lives at the Bowery Hotel and drinks old fashions every day and like writes about like emotions and
so,
has like long lost
could,
loves and so depressed and like
so if we could like wash over Jilly if we could wash over Jilly and
my
open up
selfie?
A new Jilly no like if you could just wake up tomorrow morning and totally dress
I mean,
totally
like,
different
character wise I'd want to do that but like as a new I don't want to be anyone else
right but if you could just fantasize about being someone else
I fantasize
for a day.
About being myself
the best version
right, of
exactly.
myself
see I fantasize about like I'm like it would be so cool if I could just wake, I mean, it would be not me, but I'm like, it'd be so cool if I could just wake up one morning and be like fucking doctor, you know?
I don't know. I guess I've spent way too much time thinking that way. And like, now I'm just like, this is me. And I would just want to be the best version of myself. So I don't even let my brain go there.
You never fantasize about like waking up every morning and dressing like Rihanna? And
no, I used to like fantasize about being like Britney Spears or like a pop star, but like, no.
I guess that's my real question. Like, who else have you fantasized about being?
In the past?
Yeah.
Like, just a pop star. Like, I've always wanted to be like in a band.
Okay, so this is more in the vein that I'm talking about. Okay. Like,
yeah.
Like the other, like, yeah, I fantasize about like being a rock star. Like, I know I'm never going to be a rock star, but in my head, I'm like, I would crush it at being a rock
star. Are you kidding? That's why I started DJing, because every instrument I played, I could not play well. And every time I like tried to sing, it just like wasn't working. So I was like, DJ, like, that's how I'll get my music.
But it's true. I mean, but the thing with the doctor too, I do also think like I would be a really good doctor, because I really love people.
Right. I care about people.
And I care about people a lot. So I feel like I, in another life, I guess that's a better way of phrasing it. In an alternate universe, I think I would have been a really good doctor. Do you have anything that you think about like that?
I think about, I mean, I'm probably more on your quote unquote page with this of like what I would love to be, to pivot to a place of like I don't want to say motivational speaking, because it feels so like hard to
talk.
It's hard to take on the personal like idea that I have anything interesting to say, right? Like
that it's hard to be like, you should listen to me.
Right, exactly. Like, how can I imagine? It's hard to not sound arrogant, but like ultimately, you know, I would want some sort of a career where I could reach as many women, men, whatever,
definitely,
with a positive, somewhat humorous but not satirical message.
Yeah.
And it would be, you know, the ability to connect with people through the internet I call it my lifeblood, and I shouldn't, because it's like, you know, I have a great family, so there should be my lifeblood.
But
like,
so many doors.
Not even the doors. It's the unbelievable chance to talk to someone that like you don't even know, like,
right.
and for them to say, hey, I have this going on, how can that they would ask my advice, it's just so like humbling.
It's incredible.
So I would, you know, and I'm sure we all get this of like, you know, people ask like, how do you, I want everybody to know like you can do this, you can do whatever it is that you want to do. Just
find the right social platform.
Exactly.
Just kidding.
Just get famous on it.
In my mind, I'm like, just put on a wig and don't be yourself.
Like, become.
But
you really can. And that's like what's so great about 2016's been a rough year.
It has.
But I would have to say that it's really great that we're able to have these new opportunities to like really sell ourselves.
I mean, I know that nothing to really sell ourselves.
Yeah, sell ourselves. Like, I don't mean that in like a shitty way. I mean, to really like,
to just like
be who you are.
I do think that like what I love the most out of anything I do, Jillian and I do, is when people write into our show.
Right.
People write into us and they say that, like, I mean, I've met girls that have come up to me out in LA and New York and have said to me like, you know, your podcast has gotten me through so much. Yep. I feel like I get to sit and like listen to my girlfriends talk, and it doesn't make me feel alone. And like, even when little things have happened on our show, because it is an open forum, you know, things can happen on the show that not everyone agrees with. And even when we get those listeners that write in being like, hey, I just want to let you know that I didn't like what was said.
Right.
Even then I'm like, okay, well, this is still good because we're all growing together. We're all learning together and people are like listening and taking the time to
dialogue. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that's what's really cool about comedy and and Instagram and Twitter and all this stuff is that it's creating this beautiful
connection,
dialogue. Yeah. And that's cool.
Well, I think one thing that we're so lucky in all the ways that, of course, men are dominating fields, I think with art and what we're all, you know, we're using these platforms, we can engage with our followers and be cheesy and be grateful and be, you know, there's no need to have up this pretense of I'm too cool or, you know, and that I think is such an advantage. Because to be able, you know, like I think for men, they can't, and maybe, you know, men don't write into other men, but, you know, I think Marc Maron, for example, like, gets a lot of fan mail and it means a lot to him,
sure.
But whatever. But it's like,
but again, I think that what you're saying there too is Marc Maron, for example, was a really famous stand-up comedian. I mean, I guess his podcast really took him off.
I mean, that's an inspiring story.
That's a social platform, guys.
Exactly.
But still, I think that women on the... I think a female internet presence is a very, very, very powerful one.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, I think a female presence everywhere is the most powerful one.
I think that brings us to our lady love.
Yes. Who is your lady loving?
You know, Eliza Schlesinger. She's now going by Eliza. She's just a badass. I try not to swear, but she is just...
Badass is not a swear word.
I know, but
that's,
you know,
a positive thing to be.
She has been really good to me, and even besides, like, apart from that, like, she's just a workaholic and has cultivated this fan. She's just there. She never stops.
And for those of you who don't know who she is, she's
a
stand-up comedian.
Yes,
she's done a bunch of specials that you can watch on Netflix.
Exactly. Well said. Sorry. I'm new to the podcast.
No worries.
Introducing.
No worries. I just wanted people to know. To check her out.
She's awesome.
Funny.
She's just,
I think she was on a late night show recently.
Yeah. She was on Fallon last weekend or whenever this airs. She'll, you know, she has been doing this for, you know, 10 years, and I just admire the hell out of her. I really do. And it's interesting because she is, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, they have a notion about her because she is so strong. And any person who takes the time to talk to her, she couldn't be sweeter, couldn't be more.
I'm pretty sure that she has a podcast also on our podcast network.
Yeah. It's Truth and Eliza, I think.
Yeah. That's also on our podcast network. So if you guys go to sideshow.com.
You can listen to her podcast.
So yeah, so that's one. And then, you know, we're talking about moms. I think we need to give, you probably do this, you know, you've probably done it more than once.
No,
but,
we never get sick of shouting out our moms.
All right. Well, I'm glad to bring that to the, okay.
We don't really shout out the lady love. We leave it up to our guests.
But also I think, you know, shout out to my mom,
Pamela Sue. Pammy Sue.
That's so cute.
My mom, Maria. I love my mom.
I think our moms would have been friends.
Yeah, my mom, it's like, I cry just saying, Mom, miss Mom. I'm going to cry right now.
No. Oh. Well,
shout out
so
to
fun.
Kate's mom. What is her name?
Maureen.
Maureen.
Bless
shout out
her.
To Maureen.
Maureen, where
thanks
can...
Thanks for giving birth to this beautiful human.
Yes, thank you.
At our table.
Where can all of our listeners find you?
I would direct them to @KateTheWasp on Instagram. And if they're feeling it, they can go to YouTube. And, you know, my web series is there. That's
and your
a character.
Book.
And then my book is on Amazon. You can type You Can Even, and it should come up. And I have my link on my Instagram too.
And people can see you do stand up, then they can go watch the play that you're creating.
Exactly.
The seventh
and
thing
then,
that you're doing.
Her album's coming out
in 3 months.
And then do you post your upcoming shows or
I do.
Kind of yes and no sometimes. Exactly. I mean, I know that I'm really bad. I'm so bad at posting like 98% of the shows that I do.
Well, I don't want people who come in from out of town to be two of three people in an audience, right? Like I think people don't understand that when we perform, we're not always in front of the best crowd. There's not always 50 people in the audience.
Right.
And we'll take any gig because we want to get better. But
yeah.
People are like,
I'm a whore for the stage.
When's your show? And I'm like, let's define show. Like,
yeah, you're like,
I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. But yes, I do post on Kate Hendricks at Kate Hendricks, Kate.Hendricks, whatever. It's all on Instagram. I feel like Twitter's over. Thoughts, feelings? Another time we could talk about it?
You know, the Twitter thing,
I think Twitter's for news.
I'm upset that I, like...
Greta's upset she's missed it.
I missed it. I missed the Twitter wagon. I'm not good at posting on Twitter. I also am really bad at Facebook. The only thing that I'm kind of good at with social media is Instagram. And
I feel like you're good on Facebook. You always post your jokes and they get a lot of likes.
But that's because it's like merged with my Twitter.
I know, but I think that it doesn't matter. It's still, you're still posting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm go in and out with tweeting. Mm-hmm. I love calling it twatting. I go in and out with twatting and Facebook posting. Really, Instagram for me.
Oh yeah, that's where everyone is.
Is my thing. I wish.
You know, I got like 6 accounts.
I wish I could snap, because snapping is how the younger generations communicate.
For sure. Yes. I use
my
Snapchat
cousin
for personal needs.
My cousins, my younger younger cousins. Mm. I'm talking younger cousins between the ages of like 21 to 12.
Okay.
Literally, they do not text their friends.
They Snapchat them.
Only snap with each other. Yeah. It's weird.
I had some snap conversations recently with friends, but then it all disappears. And I'm like, what if I wanted to reread that?
Right, exactly.
But that's how they all communicate. Like, I was texting with my fucking 14-year-old cousin, and she was texting me in school. And I was like, stop texting me, and she's like, I'm in science class. It doesn't matter. And I'm like, no, pay
attention. Science matters.
I'm like, pay attention.
Global warming.
We need you. STEM.
But the reason why they snap is, too, because if a teacher comes around, the conversation, like, disappears. Everything disappears. It's all gone.
Oh, God almighty.
They're so smart.
Someone was saying that Snapchat is keeping everything. There's some ether out there where...
Of course there has to be.
Are you kidding me? Nothing's deleted. Everything's... Yeah. Someone definitely has access to everything you've ever done.
I know. Isn't that crazy? Guys, thank you so much. This was really wonderful.
Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you. We love you all.
Thank you for having
me. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.